Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Toldos Sheni, the second Aliyah in Parshas Toldos. It is a short Aliyah, and it is on the topic of Yitzchak and Rivka in Gerar. Our Aliyah 7 Psukim Nun, right from Perek Chav Vav Pasuk Vav to Yud Beis. Let's take a look at a summary, and then we will see some points to ponder and consider some ideas. So we hear that Yitzchak stays in this area called Gerar. This is the area of the Philistines, down towards the southwest of Israel, the area today that we know as Gaza, towards that area. And the people ask him as he arrives there about his wife, and so he explains to them that in fact she is his sister. He was concerned that perhaps if they understood that she was his wife, then they would take her and kill him. But a little while later, when perhaps they're a little less careful, Avimelech looks out through his window and he sees Yitzhak and his wife Mitzachek. Sounds like some sort of perhaps intimacy that relates to marriage. And he immediately summons Yitzhak and says, but this is your wife, why didn't you tell me? Perhaps somebody would have just taken her and married her, and they would have been in a great guilt. And Yitzhak explains to him that really, in fact, she actually is related to him. And he says, I was concerned that perhaps I would be in a bad situation if I were to be understood to be her husband. And so Avimelech sends out an edict telling everybody in the area that nobody is to touch this woman, nobody is to make trouble for this family. And we hear at the end of the Aliyah that Yitzchak starts planting seeds, he starts investing in farming, and he finds Me'ah Sha'arim, 100 gates, and Hashem blesses him. So a lot of interesting ideas in this Aliyah, a few points to ponder. Number one is, why is it that Avimelech does not take Rivka? Like he, or perhaps his father, Avimelech is a generic name for these kings, like Pharaoh. So perhaps why did he not take Rivka, like he or his father had taken Sarah when Abraham came to stay here? So perhaps we could say that he learned the lesson. Or, as Osnan Ratara points out, there was a difference, and that is that Abraham and Avimelech had previously made a covenant, end of Parshas Vayera. It was an intergenerational covenant between the Philistines and the Hebrews, and therefore they were restricted from this kind of action. This is part of the alliance. They're not going to antagonize one another. However, when they start asking Yitzchak about his wife, at that point in time, that's when he says, I'm worried that this covenant's not going to be strong enough. And so he actually goes back to the methodology of his father, which is changing the relationship in describing himself and his wife. Now the question is, what does Mitzachek mean in this context? It's interesting to notice that the word Mitzachek comes up many times in Yitzchak's life. His father laughs, his mother laughs when hearing about the vision, the destiny of his birth, and we hear that Yishmael's Mitzachek around him. There's lots of interesting roots that are related to here. It sounds like over here that Rashi explains this as referring to marital relations. However, it is interesting to note that Malin points out that, in fact, Yitzchak was taking a great and a grave risk, because if Avimelech had noticed that, in fact, they were husband and wife, or perhaps they were having a marital relationship, but thought that Yitzchak was the brother of this woman, then he could have actually killed Yitzchak for incest, because that was a capital crime in those days. It was one of the 7 universal laws, and Yitzchak, therefore, was actually taking a grave risk by calling her his sister as well. So there's a great miracle that Avimelech recognizes this as a righteous person and asked him, gave him the opportunity to even respond as well. However, the other Mephoreshim say that, like the Bartanu and the Chizkuni, ask that it doesn't seem this makes sense that this could be happening in such a public view. So they suggest that perhaps Yitzchak closed the windows of his house, pulled the shades down, and it was that privacy which made Avimelech suspicious, asking, and therefore he calls and summons Yitzchak to ask him these questions as well. Now the question is, why is it that Yitzchak picks farming? His father, Avraham, was not a farmer, he was a shepherd. Why does he pick farming? The Osnayim Torah points out that Yitzchak is the first diaspora Jew. He is the first person who is living in the state of Geirus, a promised land, but not quite there. He's the foreigner, the perennial foreigner. And so what he is doing is he's giving an example to his children not to be sufficient or not to be subsisting on other people's land. It's important to invest in one's own, not to be accused of getting rich off others as well. What does it mean at the end of the Aliyah when it says that he found 100 gates, Me'ah Sha'arim, which is now a neighborhood in Yerushalayim, but it's based on this pasuk? So what does Me'ah Sha'arim actually mean? So Rashi says he assessed that this land would produce one unit of produce, and in fact it produced 100 units, so it was 100-fold more. The blessing was so great. Chaim HaKadosh says that a measure is capped. Meaning to say, when we measure something, we limit the capacity of bracha. Bracha is found in what is not assessed, what is not measured. So why the beauty of this is that even though he measured it, it was still susceptible to bracha. Another possibility that Rashi explains is that he assessed this because of the amount he needed to give to tithing, to Maaser, like his father Avram had given from the spoils of war with Sodom. So this is his tithing, which is what warranted him to have all these brachas. With this, we close the Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.